Well, hello and welcome to DNF1. You join us here at Imola. We find ourselves at the start of a five-race streak in Europe. After what seems like an eternity, we're back with the second race of the season for 2021. Derek, good morning. Welcome to Imola.
Yes, we're here at Imola. Fantastic. Absolutely. Just watching it on track this morning. The speeds they were running at, you know, they were straight into it, straight onto the bottom. You know, it was absolutely brilliant. I mean, as you say, you know, 6 months ago, we were only here and we're back again. But the amount of time they can have in the simulators now and things like that, they've got everything. The cars are very similar to last year. So, you know, there's not a lot that they need to do testing sort of thing. There was a couple of cars out with flow vis on, you know. Some of the cars that are struggling have got more flow vis on them than others. But, hey, you know, let's get going. Let's hope it's a really good high-speed weekend. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Derek, with the teams, they have got, obviously, reduced running in the practice sessions. So we do find that everybody's out on track. Everybody seems to be up to speed because they need to get as much information in the car as possible on running because they've got this limited time. This weekend, we will be speaking more, again, about track limits. Imola has installed quite a few yellow bollards around the track, along with the original sausage curbs that have been there. These cars don't like those bumps, as we've seen this morning in FP1. Some of the cars were getting a lot of air. But I hope that we're not going to be talking about track limits as we were last weekend. The FIA and the stewards seem to have got the idea that let's make it clear from the get-go this weekend instead of last week or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
it was, do what you want, and then we'll discuss it.
I think they've basically come out and said zero tolerance. You stick to the track limits. The track limits are the white line. You can have three wheels off, but you've got to have one wheel still on the track, and I think that's how it should be.
Let's move on, because the next thing I want to talk about is obviously Bahrain to Imola, two completely different tracks, different conditions. These cars always seem to be happy in that medium between really hot, really cold, and this start of the European season, we've got Italy, Portugal, Spain, Monaco and Azerbaijan are the next sort of five races. All of those races should be middle-of-the-road temperatures, nothing too high, nothing too low, in the Goldilocks zone that we should be getting good racing. They should get the tyres up to speed, and we should have some great on-track battles. First, I want to come and speak about Aston Martin, first of all. Aston Martin didn't have the best start to the season, but again, a lot of that is down to the aero issues, the high-rate versus low-rate cars. And in those 3 weeks since Bahrain, do you think Aston Martin can improve at the same speed as Mercedes? Do you think they'll get up to speed as quick? What's your thoughts on them, Vettel?
My thoughts on that is, I mean, they didn't get a lot of running in Bahrain. I think of all the cars that have been affected by the high-rake, low-rake situation, I think Aston Martin are the ones that are really going to struggle. I mean, I know they've got all the new input of money and things like that, but do they want to be wasting it on this car when they could be developing the 22 cars?
Other teams that are obviously looking to improve in their Bahrain performance, we've got Alpine as well. They didn't have the best races, and it turned out Alonso had actually wound up with a crisp packet or something in the air duct, which caused the brakes to overheat. We recorded just after the race, and we weren't entirely sure what caused the problem, but it was debris in the airbox. Another team that needs to have a good weekend, I think they need to show what they're capable of.
Yes, definitely. I mean, they've got to get somewhere in that top 10. They've got to have both cars, maybe. I would say Alonso needs to be in the top 10, and I think that Ocon needs to improve. I think he needs to be somewhere there or thereabouts towards the top 10. From FP1, we know he's already had a sort of an incident with Perez, so, you know, that'll be deciding which way they go with that a little bit later.
The other team that obviously needs to actually look at how it's performing is Ferrari. This morning, both the Ferraris looked really good on track. Leclerc has come out and said that the car and the improvements that Ferrari have made are making a significant difference to how he's driving the car. And to be honest, it did look good this morning. That Ferrari's got, I think, a lot of potential there that we didn't expect at the start of the season.
No, and you know my opinion of Ferrari, but I think they'll be throwing everything by the kitchen sink at it because it's the Italian Grand Prix, or one of the Italian Grand Prix. How many are we having this year? Two? Three?
Two Italian Grand Prix this year.
Two Italian Grand Prix, yeah. They've got to impress because last time they were out, and the last time we were in Italy, they were abysmal.
Yeah, after last season, the Ferraris really need to improve their performance in the Italian tracks. We're back at Italy for Monza in mid-September, early September. So this race here in Italy, even if they do top 10 and then come Monza, in September they can be fighting for a podium, I think would actually be a huge step forward for the Ferraris. And to be honest, Derek, we spoke about them at the start of the season, and I thought sixth in the Drivers' Championship. But between the aero change and maybe the time and money and effort that they've thrown at the car, as well as the two drivers they have, I think Ferrari's actually now got a lot more potential. Even after one race, we can turn around and say that Ferrari's got a lot more potential than we expected at the start of the season. Moving on to another team. AlphaTauri, the car has got so much potential. We know it's basically the sister team of Red Bull. Gasly had a bump and then had to retire. Tsunoda, top 10 points, a good performance for him. But as a team, it must be disappointing. This is effectively their home race. They're a matter of 15 minutes down the road from the track here. Really, they've got to be pulling at all the stops to actually get up to speed and actually be the support team for Red Bull and actually be fighting for that third and fourth in the Constructors' Championship as well.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, if AlphaTauri can pull off a similar thing to they did last time, they just need a little bit of luck and they should be all right. But between the two Italian teams, I would say Ferrari have got a better chance of coming out on top this weekend.
Gasly qualified really well in Bahrain. He was just behind the Ferrari, so I think there's actually, I think it's a lot closer personally, but we will wait and see. This track is a completely different city, kettle of fish. We will see how that pans out. Russell obviously here last year put it in the wall when he was running in the points. Could you see him getting points this race at the same track?
I can see him, Russell, doing better than Latifi this weekend, as has been the case of most of the weekends. But definitely, yes.
Talking to Mercedes engine cars instead of Ferrari ones, McLaren. Good result for Norris in the last race. Ricciardo was a wee bit off the pace, but he's still getting up to speed with the car. How can you see them going this weekend, Derek? McLaren are my favourite team. I believe it's your favourite team as well. A return to form, third in the championship last year. This race really is going to be the litmus test, I feel, to see where the pecking order is going to be.
Oh, definitely. I mean, definitely think Ricciardo needs to have a consistent race this weekend and no issues and just get on it. Take it to Norris, and Norris will hopefully respond, and we should have a really good performance from McLaren this weekend.
I think Norris and Ricciardo are actually the two of the drivers that probably are the most close matched. Although they've got different driving styles, we spoke about, but I think they'll actually push each other forward, and it's actually a benefit for McLaren. The only other team that I feel is in the same sort of category that doesn't really have that sort of lead driver and wingman like we have at Red Bull and Mercedes, the only other team that I feel that's actually at is Ferrari as well. But these two guys, I think once Ricciardo is on pace, they are going to push McLaren forward. I'm really excited to see how they go this weekend, especially Norris. I think Norris is the driving sensation that we've wanted. And don't get me wrong, he's not setting the headlight, but again, he is outperforming the car, I feel. And Ricciardo needs to get to that point where he is also outperforming that car. Right, so the question that we're all looking forward to getting answered this weekend is Hamilton, Max Verstappen. We know that obviously Bottas took pole here last year. Unfortunately, had debris, a first turn incident, and so on. So we never really got Bottas running around here in anger to a certain extent. Max had a blowout with 12 laps to go and failed to finish last season. So Red Bull, this is not a happy hunting ground for them after last season. But Hamilton, on the other hand, ran the tyres long, took the race last season in his stride and just showed everybody how to race this particular track. After the first race, it was a lot closer between Max and Lewis. How do you see this at Imola playing out? We know Imola's not great for necessarily overtaking, but I think with the bollards that they've put in place for track limits, there's going to be a lot more mistakes made on this track than last year, and there's going to be a lot less wiggle room for these cars. If they go slightly wide, they're going to be hitting yellow curbs, and they're going to lose more time and more traction, and we should see a lot more overtakes because of that as they push the cars.
Right, all I'm going to say is it's Verstappen's to lose. And I think the only problem is the word Verstappen. And I think he is the weakest link in that team. And I don't mean that he's a brilliant driver. He's a fantastic driver. He's just, if one little thing he can do, he'll do it wrong. And, you know, he doesn't have the greatest look in the world. I think let's leave it at that. He doesn't have the greatest look in the world.
Okay, do you think Red Bull threw away the last race, or do you think that was Max, or do you think Merck just out-strategized them? Keeping in mind that Max again was on his own in that race, and although Perez had a bump this morning with Ocon, once it's all sorted out, I think they'll still get up to speed and Ocon will qualify well. And I think that top four is going to be Perez. It's going to be Perez and Max, Bottas and Hamilton. I think that's going to be the top four this weekend.
If Verstappen had held on and overtaken further down the track than where he tried to overtake, he'd have won that race. If he'd have waited one more corner, one more bit of track, they got past him, but he just went for it. He just, I'm going now. I'm not going to wait. I'm going now. And that's, I think that was the mistake, and it cost them the race.
We've spoken about it before, maybe a bit of maturity or a wee bit sort of thinking in the cockpit for Max is what seems to be missing. That Hamilton's mental capacity in that last race, considering he did not have the fastest car, is really what stands the two apart. And
I mean, the amount of people that have said that Lewis went off the track so many times at that corner but didn't gain an advantage. He just went off and used it, you know, the amount of time.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason. No, he did it at the right time in the right place. Are you with me? And, you know, Verstappen gained an advantage and he gave it straight back. He knew he'd gone wrong.
Yeah.
But because he had to lift off, slow down, he didn't have the impetus to get past him at the next overtaking place. If he'd have waited for that next overtaking place, he'd have been past him and got it.
Yeah. The other thing that was quite interesting, on the Thursday press conferences, we saw Hamilton talking about how his rivalry with Vettel was fantastic. And there seems to be a lot of loving between Hamilton and Vettel going on. Part of me looks at that and thinks, this is Hamilton playing mind games to a certain extent with Max. It's like a ploy to effectively make Max feel that he's not a challenger and hasn't been to Hamilton, that Hamilton's never given him the time of day. Whereas in actual fact, Hamilton has probably thought about Max a lot. But when it comes to the publicity, the press, the media, Hamilton is basically saying, my battles with Vettel have been... they have shaped me as a driver. And then they go, and what about your battles with Max? And he goes, who? I had one battle at the last race with him, but prior to that, who is he? It seems to be that he's playing mind games with Max. And unfortunately, I think Max may take it to heart. I don't think he should, because Hamilton's done this in the past. And the way he talks about drivers off track, not in a bad way, in a good way, is just to highlight that we're not talking about Max. We're talking about Vettel, who isn't a championship challenger and hasn't been for quite a few seasons. But even at that, Hamilton's still saying, oh, when me and Vettel were on track, that was racing. Do you think it is mind games, or do you think it's...
I think it's mind games, other than trying to say to Verstappen, you know, you've got to step up, mate. If you want me to talk about you like I'm talking about Vettel, you've got to step up to the mark here. You've got to prove to me that you can hold it with the big boys. You've been there a few years now. You've caused enough trouble by getting that team turned into the Verstappen Bull team. If Red Bull put together three wins on the trot, then I would say Mercedes have something to worry about. But they can't do that. They haven't strung three races in a row.
Yeah.
Sort of like go, hang on, we've got to look at this Red Bull, because it's now starting to dominate the sport.
Derek,
it's not. They're not doing that.
Derek, can you see Red Bull winning this weekend? I know you said it's already Red Bull's to lose, but considering the situation and how Mercedes have developed that car, even they had 3 weeks since the last race, and we know that Mercedes done wonders from testing to the first race, and here we are 3 weeks later again. The amount of development that they can do in that time, I think, will shock everyone. Do you think it's really Red Bull's to lose this weekend? Or do you think Mercedes are going to come in here and actually keep the powder dry until qualifying and then show the teams a clean set of heels, and even Red Bull, and show them maybe half a second?
I think that's what they would like to do, and that's what I would like to happen. But I still think it's Red Bull's to lose. I think Red Bull have got the upper hand. They've had the rules changed so that it favours their car. I mean, I know Mercedes have had a lot of time and they've got lots of changes happening with team personnel and, you know, all these sort of things that always conspire against you when you're trying to do consistency. Let's see how it goes. Let's see what this afternoon brings with the FP2, and we see you can sort of weigh up who's doing what and where.
Derek, do you think we're talking about the two wrong people here, Max and Lewis? I think who we should be talking about is Bottas and Perez. let's be honest, that this race is going to be decided by those two drivers, I think, more than Max and Hamilton. And even in Bahrain, I think we actually saw that Lewis was still better on his tyres than Max was. I think there's something in that, that the cars that have got the higher downforce or have benefited from the rules are actually going to go through the tyres only slightly more. But we saw that Hamilton was still able to hold Max off on tyres that were maybe 10 laps older, or whatever the difference was there, 6 laps older, on a track that does have a lot of overtaking. Bahrain's got a good opportunity. We come to Imola, which has probably, people would argue, has less overtaking opportunities. And if Hamilton can get his nose in front, should be job done, but it's going to come down to Bottas and Perez doing their jobs as wingmen. Even although they hate that and the teams say they're not that, that's the situation. I don't think anybody can argue that point. Bottas and Perez are there to help these teams win the championship with either Max or Lewis.
Yes. More in the sort of Mercedes camp, it would be if Bottas got his nose in front, Lewis would act as his wingman. I think there might be a struggle at Red Bull to get Max to act as a wingman. I think he would go, no, he's got to slow down, let me pass. You know, I think that's where his mind would be, and that's what would eat at him.
Max feels more entitled, doesn't he? It's, as you said, it's the Max Bull racing team, and anybody gets in his way, Max is laser-focused on getting past them. He does have the raw power in the car. He is used to that car. The car's designed around probably his driving style, if it has feedback. So Perez has got an uphill struggle, but again, if Perez is even in the mix anywhere in that top four, it's going to make the race a lot better for us to actually watch. Now, this race weekend, qualifying is at 12 noon British Standard Time on Saturday, and the race is at 2 p.m. on the Sunday. We will be doing the podcast straight after qualifying and straight after the race on Saturday and Sunday, so you can join us for those podcasts, and hopefully we'll be able to give you some insight as to what's happened and take for there. Derek, this weekend, I'm very excited about it. The European leg, or the first part of the European leg, has started. We nip over to Canada in June, and then we're back to the European leg for another 8 races before we're off to Singapore in October. So this race and this particular track give us a huge pointer to how the rest of the season is going to pan out.
Yes, it does.
So folks, if you can join us over the weekend, that would be fantastic. Derek, there's nothing else for me to say except it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from him. Stay safe, take care. Let's have some good racing this weekend.
This has been a Beautycat production for DNF1.